And then he got into his boat, and his disciples followed him. And without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so the waves swept over the boat, and Jesus was sleeping. And the disciples woke him and saying, "Lord, save us, we are going to drown." And he replied to them, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" And so he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And the men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Father, as we come before you, we ask that you would open our ears to hear today. We're asking that I would become less and Jesus would become more, that the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you. But Lord, would you remind us that you are still the God who controls the wind and the waves, that you are still the one who has the authority to bring peace into any storm that we sense, that you are still the encourager and the hope giver. And Father, I ask right now that this next few moments would challenge us and change us and restore us, and that you would allow truth to reign in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. Father, thank you for what you're going to do, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You can just imagine this scene, jumping into that boat, heading across the lake. There's a couple of things you need to be mindful of, that these guys were fishermen. These guys were around the water all the time. They had been on lots of boat rides. They'd been around boats. They understand what storms were. In fact, one of the things that we learned in Israel was the Sea of Galilee storms were somewhat a normal event. But what does it say in the scriptures? It says, when Jesus got into his boat with his disciples, they followed after him. They were looking for the next adventure. They were excited about what the teaching had been. They had seen lepers cleansed and sick people raised up. They'd experienced so many wonderful things, didn't they? And what does it say? Without warning. I love that word, because that's usually the way life works in so many of our lives. It's not as if we can plan for everything. It's the without warning events that somewhat shake us. And it says, without warning, a furious storm came up, and it must have been a crazy one. I don't know about you, but if you're around people that have experienced storms, I can remember a couple of years ago, it was really a long time ago now, the men in our church in New Jersey went on this blue fishing trip on the Jersey Shore. And I can still remember, literally, it felt like, in fact, it was pretty almost, if I had like an 8-foot arm, I could have touched the water. We got between some waves, and it was a large ship, but it was sort of going like this. And everyone was holding on, but I noticed the mate and the captain, they weren't even thrown a bit. And so when it says here that a storm came up on these fishermen, it must have been a crazy one. In fact, it says that the water started to come up over the side. And the disciples begin to panic, and they become afraid. And you know what? Honestly, sometimes fear isn't a bad thing. Sometimes fear is a good rescuing event that takes place in your heart and lives. But this one becomes overwhelming. And it says that the storm continues to grow. Have you ever been there before? And the fear begins to rise. And in the midst of that, they are beginning to think, you know what, we are going to drown in this circumstance. So how would you handle being in the boat? I mean, just take a few moments and think about that. And mind you, I think sometimes when we read this story, we think they were in a little tiny rowboat. Probably not. The boat was probably, from probably here to the wall. It was a good-sized boat, not something small. So how would you handle that? Think about it just for a few moments. Can you feel the water sort of hitting your cheek? Can you notice that your friends around you are holding on for dear life? And it says, in the midst of this circumstance, Jesus was sleeping. And so they wake him up, and they're overwhelmed, and fear reigns. And it seems to me, as I read through this passage, is there were two types of fear that were beginning to creep into their hearts. The first fear simply comes from being out of control. They found themselves in a situation where they couldn't control. They didn't have the resources for all of their planning, all of their experience, all of the way they've handled things in the past didn't work. They feel as if something is amiss. Have you ever been that place before when you feel out of control, when you begin to recognize and know that you can't control the circumstances that you find yourselves in? Have you ever been there before? None of you have. I mean, I can tell by the looks on your faces. I mean, apparently you can take care of every circumstance that takes place. I can see it in your face. There is not one thing that has ever arisen in your life where you haven't been able to take care of it. See, the truth is, if you're honest with yourself, and the older I get, I'm finding it within my own life, that there is rarely ever a time when we have control over all things. We may order the simple things. We may plan on the significant events. In fact, a number of years ago, I was talking to one of my friends that had planned on retiring by now, but because of the crash of a couple years ago, they wiped out more than half their savings. They had done all of the right things. They had been putting aside monthly amounts. They were ready to join in the joyful life of retirement, and now they're looking at 5 or 6 or 10 more years. See, sometimes circumstance get away from us. And yet, as Americans, we're a people that continually assume that we have control over every single circumstance or situation that arises. We're told every day that we can do those things. But the truth is, we can't. And so these disciples who had been in the water before, who had walked through storms on the shore, but also been in the midst of the boats, find themselves in a place where they can't control anything, and the fear begins to overwhelm their hearts. And they begin to think, we're going to drown, we're going to die. That's the second fear that comes up. These disciples are fearful of death. They go to the Lord and wake him up. Lord, we're going to drown. You got to do something. It's an amazing thing that they realize who they needed to talk to. But when you're drowning, how do you handle those type of circumstances? See, one of the things that we don't often talk about in the church, but I mean, every so often when you're in a funeral home, you'll hear things like you don't need to be fearful of death, or you don't need to be concerned about that, or oftentimes in ministry when you go to that ICU in the hospital and you recognize when hospice is called in, that those are the times that you have those conversations. So for the next few minutes, I want to ask you, what's your real view of the circumstances that get out of control? And what's your real view of death? How do we deal with that within our culture and within our homes and within our hearts? What do you fall back on when the storms of life kick in? Why do we fear death as much as we do? And some of that is a safety thing. But why do we fear death? I think sometimes we fear death simply because we fear losing everything, don't we? We sort of get overwhelmed at that. We think about losing our family. We think about losing our friends. We think about losing our stuff. What's going to happen to it? Aren't people are going to be, I know with the experience I just had with my mother, there was that sense within her heart, what is going to happen to all my stuff? If she only knew what happened to a lot of her stuff. Yes, it's in a landfill somewhere. Seriously, there's just so much of it. And so the fact of the matter is, when you lose someone, when you experience that expression of death, it is an earthquake, it is emotional, it is a physical. There are all of those emotions that you go through that are good and normal. There's shock and anger and control and depression and grief, and it's a powerful thing, and the steps are real. And if we aren't careful as followers of Christ, we sort of get this idea that literally death seems to have the last word in every circumstance. This is what was alarming these disciples. They had experienced something that was out of control. The storm was going to end their lives. What are they going to do? What would their families think? What are their relatives think? What are their spouses going to think? It was an upsetting thing. And they were thinking, if they drown, that's the last word. Some of us are like that today. But for the believer who knows Jesus, there is hope in the midst of that. I mean, just think for a few moments. Have you ever gone through the gospel and noticed how, at least within the New Testament, even in the Old Testament, there doesn't seem to be a fear of death the way it seems to be a fearful event for most people nowadays? Do you remember the cross? I mean, that's an amazing scene. We don't, again, talk about it as much as we should. But Jesus is talking to that criminal. That criminal looks at him and says, "Will you have mercy on me?" And Jesus says, mightily and powerfully, "Today you will be with me in paradise." It doesn't say you need to be fearful and anxious about the next couple of hours here. Have you prepared for all of that? He looks at him. This man acknowledges who Jesus is, and Jesus' response is, in the midst of death, you will be with me in paradise. Do you realize that the scripture says over and over and over that God is the God of the living? So as followers of Christ, there's that hope. And I think beyond a shadow of a doubt, as followers of Christ, we are called to let life win in all of the circumstances that we face. Well, what would happen if you began to believe what God said? What would happen if you dared to believe in the truth that we have hope? What if these disciples began to recognize all that Jesus was offering them and they did know where to look? They came and looked for him, but do you realize probably the reason why Jesus was sleeping is because there was no fear that captured him, because he knew the truth. Do you realize throughout the New Testament there's almost a disregard for physical death? Do you remember what Paul said? And for some of us, we haven't captured that thinking yet, but how did Paul deal with all the stuff that he was facing? The being beat, the shipwrecks, the jail time, the upsetness of the day. He said, literally, to die is gain. Do you remember those words? I mean, some of us actually believe like this is the best that it gets. I hope that's not the truth. Jesus says to enter his presence, and Paul says to enter his presence is better than life itself. You imagine that? For those of you who are here today that live every single day as if this is the most important thing in the whole world, Jesus says, no. You have no idea what's ahead. And it's far better than your latte and the Starbucks Christmas cups. The things that we get jazzed about on a regular basis. Do you hear Paul's words in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23? I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is much better by far. Isn't that an amazing thing? Isn't that an amazing thing? Is that what you set your hope on? The early believers were fearless when they faced death, because they knew and they believed who Jesus was. Every so often I need to remind myself, do you realize that we have forever? Seriously, do you realize that? We have forever. The Christmas season is coming upon us, and I came across a poem by T.S. Eliot, and he wrote about the Magi. Have you ever thought about that scene? If you read the story and you recognize that the wise men come, and it's over a period of years, and they come and they seek out Jesus, and they find him, and they celebrate who he is, and they say, this is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the Magnificent One. This is the one that all of history is pinned on. Imagine that scene. Have you ever thought about what it must have been like to have gone home after that? See, most of us never think like that. In fact, most of us never, even as followers of Christ, think like that. When these wise men go home to their respective countries and places and kingdoms, do you realize that must have been one of the hardest journeys they've ever experienced? Not because they hadn't found the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Redeemer, the Messiah, but because they had found him. No longer was there a sense of ease about what they were experiencing. In fact, this is what the poem says. We return to our place, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease, and hearing and living in the old disposition with an alien people clutching at their gods. I should be glad of another death. See, that's how we should respond as followers of Christ. Once we understand who Christ is and once we begin to understand what the gospel talks about, there should be a fearlessness that captures our hearts and our minds and our thoughts. Do you realize that the gospel changes everything? And if it's not changing everything in your life, you need to stop and think about that. Why isn't it making the difference that it should? And so when you think of the uncontrolled circumstances that you find yourself, or when you're facing death, or when you're sitting in that funeral home, do you ever stop and realize, yep, there's a lot of pain, and there's a lot of hurt, and there's a lot of upsetness, and it's an earthquake that shakes the very foundations of your heart, but do you realize that it's not hopeless? Ever. And we need to hear those reminders over and over and over again, because most of us get caught up in life and don't ever look toward the future with joy. It says, when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him without warning, and a furious storm comes up on the lake. And so the waves sweep over the boat, and Jesus was sleeping. And the disciples went and woke him up, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. And he replies, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? And then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And the men were amazed and even asked, what kind of man is this? Even the waves obey him. So what are you going to do in the boat? What are you going to do in the boat even this day? Because some of you are in the midst of a storm. Some of you have family members and friends who may be facing death. Some of us, this at the end of this next year, may not be here. So are you going to panic, or aren't you going to panic? See, I think that's a decision that you sort of begin to make right now. Are you going to live your life thinking that you're in control of everything? Or are you going to hold on loosely to all the stuff that you have and the circumstances that you face, and you're like the disciples that first and foremost, in the midst of those storms, you turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, this is where I'm at. I acknowledge to you that I'm not in control of all the things that I think I am, but you are. Are you going to be fearful of death or overwhelmed with that? Or are you going to let it rule and reign and bring hopelessness into your life? Or are you going to make some other choices? I love what the scripture said. You can imagine that scene, that the boat is beginning to rock and the waves are beginning to fill in, and I'm sure someone's yelling at Peter, telling him to bail faster. What do they finally do when they get to the end of their rope? I mean, they're panicked, they're bailing, they're looking around, they're wondering what's going to happen. In the midst of that, somebody says, where's Jesus? Oh, he's sleeping. Let's go get him. Smart decision, probably one of the better ones they made that day. In the midst of the storm, they finally turn to the one that can possibly do something. And can you imagine that scene? I don't want to wake him up, you go wake him up. And so they work on that process together, and you know, maybe it's Peter that goes and grabs his foot and says, Jesus, you need to wake up. And Jesus sort of rubs his eyes and says, what's going on? And they just, we're going to drown, we're going to die, this is it, we can't control this, we've done all that we can do. Lord, do something. Isn't that what the scripture says? Lord, save us. I love that scene. What does Jesus say? And so for so many years, when I read this passage, I thought Jesus was mocking them. I mean, sort of putting them down, and maybe that's the way our culture works. A little sarcasm goes a long way. See, I've read it this time in a new way. I don't think he was mocking them, but he was simply saying, guys, you have a little bit of faith here. Why are you so afraid? Don't you understand who I am? Don't you recognize that I am the Messiah that you have been looking for? Guys, haven't you seen me change the leper? Haven't you seen me raise up Peter's mother-in-law? Haven't you seen me take care of that slave that was going to die? Haven't you seen me argue with the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day? Haven't I shown you over and over the proof of who I am? Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? So many of us today are fearful. We're in a culture that seems to be more and more fearful in circumstances and people and situations and the government and the economy. And I think Jesus would say, why are you so fearful? Don't you understand? Don't you know? See, I think that's one of the reasons why you and I, as followers of Christ, need to know our scriptures. Is it isn't enough to watch it on TV. It isn't enough to sort of memorize little tiny passages. It isn't enough just to simply rest in what you thought you knew from Sunday school or vacation Bible school. You and I need to be a people that begin to study the Word of God and begin to get the bigger picture. Could you believe that today? How much time do you spend looking at the Word of God, reading the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, studying the Word of God on a weekly basis? Do you realize the less you know about God, and it's all found within the Scriptures, the less you're going to know how to deal with life and circumstances and situations? See, some of you this week are going to find yourself on the boat, and the waves are going to be coming up, and you're going to have to make a choice. And for some of you, you will forget everything I said on Matthew chapter 8. But for others of you, you will go back and look at this story and say, wait a minute, this is what the gospel says. When the disciples who were followers of Jesus walked with him, they faced some awful storms. But in the midst of that, they knew at least to turn to him. How many of you turned to him? How many of you ever said things like this? Well, I guess I need to pray now. Isn't that what we do? Guess we need to pray now, which basically says we have done all that we can do within our power. We have tried to figure it out. We have spent nights sleepless nights trying to notice what's going on. What if we started at the beginning and just simply said, Father, this is a circumstance I can't figure out. I'm not sure how to control this, but I want your wisdom above my own. But what does it also say to encourage us here? Because for so many of us, we have this idea that the disciples were godly men, and followers of Christ back in Jesus' day had such a clearer picture of who he was. And is that what it says here? In verse 26, he says, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" And he gets up and he rebukes the winds and the waves, and it was completely, it was like glass when he was done. And verse 27 is such an encouragement to me. What does it say there? That they sat back down and were relaxed with all that had taken place? Is that what that scripture says? I'm expecting an answer. Is that what that scripture says? No. It says the men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey him?" Do you hear that? They began to understand who Jesus was. They didn't have that full picture. They didn't figure it out. In some translations, they sit down and they're fearful of who this man is because that's not what they expected. They began to understand beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was in control. They began to see that he was actually the one that can bring peace in the midst of the storm. That they began to see, it says there, that he controlled the winds and the wave, that nature itself, the creation that they had all been working with in the midst of, that Jesus was the one who held it in the palm of their hands and could take care of each circumstances they were facing. But it also tells me that these disciples were on a learning curve. There was a bell curve going on. I used to love that in school because I always knew there were some really, really smart people and then not so smart people. And you sort of, when the grades were made, you hoped that the teacher went on that bell curve type of thing. Do you realize these disciples, these men of God who had it all together, were beginning to grow little by little in their understanding of who Christ is? You and I believe, are on that same learning curve. And there's a reason for that. When you find yourself in that place where things seemed out of control, when you turn it over to him and you begin to see how faithful he is, the thought is, the next time the storm begins, I will fall back on what I've experienced. How many of you are on a learning curve with Jesus? Seriously, because I think a lot of us aren't on that learning curve anymore. We actually believe, I can remember when we were in Maine, it was our first church, one of my elders came to me one day and all seriousness just said to me, "I want you to know, Pastor, I know everything there is to know about God." And my response is, then why doesn't he take you home? I mean, even then I knew something was wrong with that. But there was never any fruit of that. He talked about knowing God. But he really didn't, because there was no fruit of that within his life. There was no learning curve. There was no new experiences. There was no gentle walk up the mountain to understanding who God is. Do you realize that that takes effort and it takes time and it takes writing that journal down and recognizing and seeing where God is working? It takes knowing what the Word of God says. So when you find yourself in the boat, you can skip the panic and the upsetness by going right to Him. And saying, Jesus, I need you. I need you. Are you on a learning curve? See, I believe that that's what Jesus calls us to. See, a lot of us who have been raised in the church said or have this idea that you accept Christ as your Savior and then you zip into some spiritual being. And every place I look in the gospel, it's one little step at a time. It's that first experience with accepting Christ as your Savior and Lord, and then there's that process of walking with Him and seeing Him to be more and more faithful and that growing that's natural and good and purposeful. This is what was going on in the disciples' lives. They stepped back and were amazed. When was the last time that you were amazed at what's going on? See, I believe that is probably one of the purest forms of what we're to do as followers of Christ. That when we face the storm, or even as we look toward death, that it doesn't panic us or overwhelm us or cause us to be fearful or hopeless. But we begin to approach Jesus and say, Father, how are you going to deal with this? Or Jesus, I understand the truth of the matter is that to be absent from the body is to be in your presence. That, Lord, I begin to recognize that this world is not all there is and there's some far greater things that are going to occur. Or even the fact that Jesus allows us to experience some horrendous times, not so that it'll break us and cause us to falter, but so it reminds us that He is in the midst of even the most horrendous things and there is hope. So this year, will you decide to be on the learning curve? Some of you have sat out for a long time, and if you're honest with yourselves, you recognize that you really haven't been growing, and you haven't even been looking. You've sort of assumed you know all there is to know. But see, a growing faith is a faith that is always taking a step toward Jesus. Not with perfection, not with ease. Sometimes it's uncomfortable and hard. But you take that step forward. You take that step forward. So how are you going to ride in the boat this week? How are you going to ride in the boat? Even maybe for some of you, it's riding in the boat even today, and you're wondering what on earth is taking place and how can you control it? And Jesus may be saying, why don't you let me? And rest in who I am. How will you ride the boat? Will you look at Matthew 8, verses 23 through 27 in a new way? And realize that Jesus is there. The peace giver in the storm. The hope in the midst of every circumstance. The future that you can look forward to. This is who our Savior is. May you be amazed at the kind of man that He was, King of kings and Lord of lords, our sanctifier, healer, and joy and salvation. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, we ask in the name of Christ right now that you would change our vision. I know I've been in the boat before, and I'm in that boat right now. We never seem to get out of it. And I've been like the disciples who are overwhelmed and cry out and just begin to think, I'm going to die, I'm going to drown, this isn't going to work, I can't figure this out, this is impossible. And Lord, you know that there have been times, there have been seasons when I have even refused to look at you because I thought I could take care of it. And I thought I understood what the next step was going to look like. And yet the waves kept coming. And Father, I truly believe that some of us live in a state of constant underlying anxiety because we don't know who you are and we're not sure if we can trust you, and we've never seen you calm the waves that you want because you're waiting for us to surrender to you. And some of us even here have been living as if this is all there is, and you're wanting to give us hope. Father, would you minister to us right now? Would you allow us to see who you truly are? Would you give us the courage to submit to you beyond our feelings or our circumstances and our situations? Would you allow us to be like the disciples and live in the midst of that learning curve? That every time they spent time with Jesus, they began to see that he was far more than they even imagined he was. And at this moment in their lives, they learned that he was the controller of nature. A couple of weeks before, they saw that he was the healer. And a little before that, they began to recognize that he was the Messiah, but didn't have all of the pieces attached. And some of us in this room are like that right now. We have little bits, and you're longing to give us a bigger picture. So would your manifest presence capture us this day? Would you dismiss us in hope? That we would see the storms calmed and the fear removed and the peace capture us. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.